It sounded as though you almost remembered Wednesday nights down in South Wales fondly.
Wednesday nights, well, it's we always, you know, if you went to Cheltenham, you played away, so you were never home early. But going down into Wales was a completely different story, and playing against the Pontypool of this world, the Pontypool front row. I mean, not only down there, but up here on a Wednesday, and we played against the near enough the Welsh pack out here on one occasion, and they were just pushing us about terrible. I mean, we were just going back at 100 miles an hour, and Mickey Burton, we were playing Newport I think the following week or the following 2 weeks out here, and he said, look, he said, we're not taking that again. As soon as the ball comes in, we're going to collapse. So we actually collapsed the scrum, which nearly broke Alan Bring and Jim Jarrett's neck from behind. But that's what we were doing, we were collapsing. I mean, in those days when you were hooking 6 inches off the ground, really. We played Cardiff one day, and Richard Nichols was scrum half. Phil Blakeway was prop. And so it showed you the strength we had. But they had a chap by the name of Beard playing for Cardiff, who got selected for the British Lions, and he had a scrummaging that low that I couldn't see Richard Nichols. So I had to literally say, Richard, put the ball in now. And that's how low we were actually scrummaging. But it was good going down there. I mean, you learned very quickly down there. I mean, and my type of game, playing a lot of the game on the floor, retrieving the ball and tackling, it was nothing to have your shirt ripped off your back with studs. We were playing Newbridge one evening, and the referee got delayed in a traffic jam. Mickey Booth was captain, and Boothie disappeared and come back. He said, well, as he said, the referee is going to be about a half hour late, but one of their committee men said that he would kick the game off. So if that's acceptable, he'll start the game for us. So we said, oh, that's okay. You know. So we kick off, and about 20 minutes later, the referee turned up on the touchline, and we all went, thank goodness for that. And he went to run onto the pitch, and the referee who started the game said, excuse me, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm here now, I'm going to take the game over. And this committee man turned around and said, sorry, I started the game, I'm going to finish it. So we didn't have a referee that day.
Didn't win that one, no. Then. Yeah. I see in your second season, actually, according to my records, you played 11 games in that first season, 69-70, and didn't play in the next season.
That was Mike Nichols'
first year captaincy. Yes, that's
absolutely right, yeah. And then 71-72, you played 10 games and scored your first try for Gloucester. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I scored a few in my time, I think.
You did.
And got a few stitches for them as well. Yeah, yeah, and I think that...
As your career went on, you scored more tries.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Goal-langing.
But you hadn't played a first-team game for Gloucester the previous season, and yet you played for the county right at the start of the next season.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Glamorgan at Penny Craig.
Yes. Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I think I was showing my qualities as an hooker, and Mike Nichols was captain, so I couldn't get into the first side.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the recognition come from playing for the United.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I actually captained the county down at Lydney.
Oh, right.
One evening. They said I was the established player, and I looked around with John Bayliss playing and people like that, and you think, well, yes, I could.
Who captained the county so many times afterwards,
didn't he? Yeah. So I actually captained the county. I captained Gloucester a fair few times. Mm. Some I wouldn't want to really talk about, like Stroud away, where we lost. The county was a real honour, really, especially coming from the United. But again, you're playing alongside people like John Pullin, who was probably the best hooker in the UK. And you were really just his sidekick, really. Although I was also selected to go to South Africa with the county.
That was with Pullin, wasn't it?
That was with John Pullin.
Yeah.
And we were there for nearly a month. And I did manage to get two games.
Do you remember much about that county debut?
Yes, I do. If I remember rightly, this is where Bob Clues actually swallowed his tongue during the game.
God. Yeah.
And had to be taken to hospital. Mm. And we got, can I say, thrashed by Liger Morgan. I don't know whether you've got the scores.
No, I haven't got the scores.
But I always remember that there was great upset by Gabitas, the outside half, the captain, about what the papers would say about us the next day. Because we were being beaten pretty badly. But the players you see, people like Bob, John Bayliss, Chris Williams, Peter Knight, you've stayed friends with. Don't see so much of John Gabitas now, Cannon, Robert Rogers, Tony Rogers, don't see a lot of him. Dave Watt, we played golf with the latter part of last year. He suddenly came. And obviously Alan Brin and John Watkins. Alan Brin and I, we were all, people asked us if we were brothers because we spent so much time together. We did. But the things I remember about that game really was that apart from being beaten badly was poor old Bob Clues.
Mm.
And a lady actually ran down from the stand realising what he'd done, and ran across the pitch, and she was an off-duty nurse, so he was rushed to Bristol Hospital.
Sounds fortunate.
Mm, it was. Mm. Yeah. Apart, we had to play one less, but apart from that, no sympathy.
Well, she didn't take his place then. For those of us who can only dream of such things, Fred, tell us what it was like to come out in the cherry and white and play here at King's Home.
You started off first thing in the morning when you got up, and you would decide what you were going to have for your breakfast. And it would, for me, it was one of those things, you had to have the lightest thing. You didn't want anything in your stomach. You would arrive at the ground, and the build-up to actually, before you ran out onto the pitch, was brought the stress levels completely over and above what you really needed to be at. And it was nothing for people like Peter Butler to be physically sick before running out onto the pitch. And before you actually come down the old steps on the far side of the ground, you couldn't get any spit in your mouth. You were as dry as a bone with the sheer stress and the build-up to the game. But once you come out onto the pitch, it was completely different. Once you had that crowd behind you, and although the crowds were, you know, smaller in those days, the shed area, the end of the clock, but they could also take it out on you as well. There was a bit of a punch-up under the clock the one day. And there was a suggestion that I should have been sent off. So they would only be for you, they'd be against you as well sometimes. But the crowd, and it wasn't only playing, it was outside the social side of Gloucester. And in those days, you could virtually walk around the city as if you were an international football player. And your name within business, etc., just grew and grew and grew. It was the whole feature of playing for Gloucester. And it was just fantastic. And I think in you know, when you get to, you talk about you know, in the early days, not playing much rugby for the first team, playing more for the United, playing for the county. And then in 75, being selected as one of the top six hookers in the UK, you realise, you know, that your abilities has actually got you to the stage where you want to be. I think what you didn't appreciate is that, in a way, you should have put more in to get more out. And I suppose the training side of rugby was changing from, you know, from that period of 69. People like when Don Rutherford arrived and they started changing the training regimes. And training become more and more important as you went through.
Yeah. Who had a real influence during your career by way of coaching?
Don Rutherford had an influence at the starting point, really, to the quality of the player, to raise that quality, not just in the player, but in the physical fitness.
Right.
And when I joined Gloucester, I was about 12 and a half stone, and obviously that wasn't nowhere near big enough, and I got myself to 14 stone, but you had to do it in a way that it just wasn't fat. You had to build up your strength with it, and I managed to get to 14 stone. Today I wish I was still 14 stone, but there we go, it just grows on you in the end. Coaching in the early days, training wise, you had people like Ivor Oakes, who was just mad, and he would had a tendency out of season to take you up to Robinswood Hill and make you run up Robinswood Hill, back down Robinswood Hill, back up Robinswood Hill, do exercises on the top, down the other side and round to the coach. And then one day we ran up Robinswood Hill, back down Robinswood Hill, up Robinswood Hill, done the exercises, and he said, "Oh, by the way, I've sent the coach back to Gloucester." So we had to run back to Gloucester. But in those early days,
I think there were some people who enjoyed that, though, weren't there? Like Phil Buckway.
Oh, Phil would, yeah. I think he's still running. But in those days, the more of the coaching came from the older, established players than the, you know, you were getting physically fit with people like Ivor Oakes. But a lot of the coaching was more around the players that you were playing with, the old established players like Jack Folk and people like that.
How much training were you doing during a sort of normal week?
Well, if you speak to my daughter, she would say that our grandchildren have had more of my time than she ever had. Because what you ended up doing, you were training on a Monday, playing on a Wednesday, yeah, training on a Thursday, playing on a Saturday. And that was a regular basis. And then in between that, in the out of season, I think I've got a photograph somewhere where you've got myself, Alan Brady and Eddie Pinkney running up and down those steps at the far side of Greenland where the shed is now. So that was a regular training session. And you started to get a lot fitter. Did some training with Bob Clues. I'd go down to Bob's to see his children. And it'd be nothing for a Sunday afternoon to go out for a run.
Yeah.
And that was after having to cut the beers.